Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, February 27th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Taris, and after a little bit of a break with that all-star, I guess you can call it a weekend, but really call it a waste of time, do get a little bit of time off for ourselves, but we are back full steam ahead with my guy Kenny as we are looking at a 9-game slate to get us back into the swing of things. A bunch of games coming off of teams that are in either potential back-to-back scenarios or dealing with some big injuries that could potentially have some pretty significant effects on what the value is looking like on the roster. But yeah, Kenny, I know we got a week off over here. How is the All-Star break for you? How are things going overall?
All-Star break, man. I don't really know how to describe it in words. competitive isn't really what I could really describe it as. It feels like a break for the whole league, man. You have no EuroLeague basketball going, no NBL, just some college game going. You have a couple of the greatest players on earth in the same location who just put on I can't even call it a scrimmage, put on whatever they put on. How much of that game did you watch?
Honestly, I felt like I was pushing myself through. I think I watched about altogether of the four quarters, probably a grand total of about a quarter and a half. And I'm like, man, I can't take this anymore. This is disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really hope something happened next year. Don't know what it's going to be exactly, but hopefully something happens.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they were hoping for it to be a little bit different once they I personally enjoyed the whole drafting and getting those teams, but I guess they wanted to go back to a more traditional East versus West, but clearly did not get the competitive fire going that Adam Silver was clearly hoping for. You could hear the disappointment in his voice when it's just like announcing the fact that they broke the record for the most points scored and no one cared. It's just one of those things where, yeah, it's sad. And obviously the dunk contest sucked. Jaylen Brown was just a disappointment, jumping over a 4-foot guy sitting on a chair. I mean, what is that? But regardless, let's jump right into what is a more fun and more exciting, hopefully, 9-game slate that we have coming up to us. And of course, for those who still aren't in the know, I don't know what's going on, but get yourself onto sportsethos.com and get yourself subscribed to that DFS pass. So not only do you get access to all of the amazing content that we have, including our DFS deliveries, our pick'ems, and of course, access to our Discord, where you can go ahead and ask the pros all the way up until lineup locked to be able to get the insights from guys who've been doing this for years and years that will make all the difference there for you. But let's jump right into it here with the point guard slot. And really what I found pretty interesting, now given that we're looking at it from the night before over here, we have the spreads on, I want to say, six out of the 9 games that I'm taking a look at here. And really, most of them seem pretty much in that like high 220s to low 230s range, with a couple of exceptions, that being the Warriors game against the Washington Wizards and then the Jazz and Hawks games, both of which are sitting in either low 240s or the high 230s. So definitely some of the more interesting ones, at least for me personally. Now, talking about the point guard side over here, we obviously just got a recent announcement as far as Trae Young is concerned, where we know that he's going to be gone for what could be at least 4 weeks over here when he gets reevaluated after his surgery on his finger. And as a result of that, DeJounte Murray is definitely going to be a very popular pick coming into this night, and really for good reason. He's obviously had two great games back-to-back for his side, where he's racked up 50 and 57 DK points. Even though his price tag has taken a good bit of a jump over here, going up to 8,900, he is coming in to a matchup where it should be competitive, fast-paced. As the spread stands, we have the Hawks actually favored to win by just a 2.5 in a 237.5 game total over here. So I think it'll be a bit of a trend for myself that there is a good bit of value to be had in this game in general. And just looking at some of the lineups that I put together, a lot of the guys from this matchup itself did find themselves in my potential lineups here. But DeJounte Murray, absolutely in play for his 8,900, has a great opportunity to put up another 50 plus tonight over here, and will be pretty chalky given the matchup that we have coming in. The other kind of expensive guy that I'm potentially looking at, and really it's someone that needs to get themselves kind of back on track after two pretty terrible games, and that's Steph Curry. And who better to do that against than a Washington Wizards team, which is about as generous as it can get as far as the perimeter is concerned. And just to give a bit of an idea, last time around Steph faced them, he only had to play 26 minutes in that game just because it got kind of out of hand over there, but still was able to put up 51 DK points in that time. And I expect that, given what we've been seeing from Washington as of late, they've actually been playing some significantly better ball since Jordan Poole moved over to the bench. And in general, it's kind of worked out better in terms of how they're putting together a little bit more of their offense. So it's a potential for it to be a somewhat more competitive game over here. Obviously, Washington at home gives that a little bit of a potential edge as well. So if Curry can get himself into a 30-plus minute role over here, I expect that he should have a good bounce back game given his two bad ones. And I expect his ownership percentage will reflect some of the fear that is two duds coming from Curry. But if there's something you know about Curry, is that he does absolutely bounce back. Going a little bit further down, though, into my value picks over here. So with the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Orlando Magic over here, we did just get news that Cam Thomas hurt himself in this last game that they were going up against tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies over there, ended up in 29 minutes, hurt himself as far as his ankle is concerned. And even though it doesn't look like it'll be a long-term injury, he is still unlikely to suit up for this next game over here, which really does give a little bit more opportunity in the backcourt for someone like a Dennis Schroeder to take advantage. And his price tag, given that it's sitting at 4,800, saw himself get 26 great minutes against Memphis here, ended up in about 28 DK points in that time. I expect his usage should be seeing a little bit more of a boost coming into this Orlando matchup on a back-to-back over here. So for a guy who's sitting in that high 4,000s, I think the upside is well and truly there for him to have something in the mid to high 30s as far as his DK points are concerned, and if not potentially more depending on how certain things work out. And finally, just as a kind of mid-tier guy for me to potentially look at, and I guess wouldn't totally call it mid-tier, but it is, again, continuously going with Devin Vassell, who, to me, is a great opportunity for a GBP pick that you know can have that upside to be able to drop 50, as he did in the last game against Utah. Now, we know that everything is about Wembanyama at this point as far as the Spurs are concerned, but really what has gone kind of under the radar is how well Devin Vassell has been playing as of late, and really just overall as far as the season's concerned. And this specific matchup against the Timberwolves has been one of his best matchups as far as the entire season's concerned, where he's already played them three times, has averaged 40 DK points in the three games that he's played, and has put up some great shooting splits where he's shot 57% from the field, 52% from three, on his way to 25 actual points a night. And given that he's become a lot more of a ball handler as the season has kind of wore on, Jeremy Sochan has taken a little bit more of a kind of off-ball role. That entire transformation into him being a full-time point guard didn't really do what the Spurs needed them to do. So Devin Vassell has gotten that opportunity in at 6,900. He's got a lot of upside to drop another 40-plus.
Definitely some good picks. And you're right. Murray definitely going to be the highest owned picked on this slate. So I'm actually going to stay away for that. I like your Curry pick, but I'm going a little bit different with my spend up at the point guard position. I'm actually going to go with somebody who's probably going to be overlooked by a lot of people tomorrow, and that's Donovan Mitchell. When he came back from his little extended All-Star break, he had a game against Washington, and you know he had his regular amount of minutes, maybe a little less, probably about 30, 32 minutes. And he didn't really live up to the value. I think he only left with about 30 DraftKings points on a 9.5 price tag. So I do feel like a lot of people will be running away from him, especially since he got a decent decent overall game total against the Mavericks tomorrow. So that's how I'm going to be looking at my spend up. I do feel like this is going to be a 50-60 DraftKings point night for Mitchell in that position. Going mid-tier, I feel like this is going to be a chalky player. So this is probably just going to be a cash game only play. But the Sumo against the Pistons, he's right now at 5'4". And last week, man, that dude been producing. with the fantasy numbers. Typically, you think of him as a non-existent player on the court, somebody who can be out there for 40 minutes to give you no DraftKings points. But last week, he was averaging a DraftKings point per minute. Played 41 minutes against Boston, ended up with 41 DraftKings points, then repeated that against, I think it was New Orleans. Then played against New Orleans and actually probably did the same thing, got another DraftKings point per minute game. I do feel like he will be pretty chalky, so I might avoid him in GPPs, but if you're playing cash game, I really don't know how you can't talk yourself into not playing him. For my cheapy play, I'm going all the way to the 3K range. All the way to the 3K range, so you know I'm looking at a GPP-only play. They are playing against Atlanta. This player minutes been sporadic throughout the whole season, but if he's able to see the floor for 15 to 20 minutes, this could be something that could take that could just take you over on the GPP. I'm talking about THT for Utah. Look, when he's on the floor, especially if he's on the floor in a fast-paced game like this game should be, he's somebody who can actually produce numbers. Again, he's really wasn't getting the go time with the playing time. But if he's in and he's able to get you 15, 20 minutes, he's somebody who will be able to produce and actually end with 30, 35 DraftKings points in that spot. Again, this is a GPP play only. You might get zero PT, but if you're feeling risky and you need a flyer, THT is your guy.
Yeah, fair enough. I think boom or bust is definitely the best way to describe what THD can do. I mean, it's been a really weird season as far as his minutes and everything has been concerned, just really not getting that consistency, but definitely still putting up good numbers per minute when he does get out there. So let's see what that looks like on this upcoming night. Moving on to the shooting guards over here. And really, my picks have kind of revolved around the mid-tier as far as shooting guards are concerned. Now, of course, a lot of these guys do have dual eligibility, so you can usually slot them in a bunch of different places as far as your lineups are concerned. But I'm going to start first and foremost with Jordan Clarkson at 6,000 in that same Utah and Atlanta game. And much as I mentioned before, this is likely to be a popular matchup for me to try and get a good amount of people in, because I expect that it is going to be a fast-paced, close game all the way through, and really not much defense being played. And if there's anyone that benefits pretty heavily from whatever defense isn't being played and allowed to kind of roam free and create some shots, it's Jordan Clarkson. And you know, he's been, as far as his price tag is concerned, pretty safe as far as his floor goes. Hasn't really had a dud of a game in about, I'd say, 2 weeks at this point now. And given that he's sitting at 6,000, the floor for him to be in the high 20s is pretty well secure given kind of what his current role is looking like. And his shot attempts are always going to be there. And where you can get a little bit of an extra boost is when he has one of those nights when he decides to go a little bit above as far as his assists per game are concerned. He is averaging about 5 for the season, but he's now had 2 out of his last 4 games where he ended up with either 9 or 10 assists in that one. And that absolutely kind of catapults him to another tier as far as the capability to be able to produce at a higher ceiling. And so for a guy who's definitely a little bit more of a GPP play in the sense that he can give you, one of those nights where he ends up on 12, 15 DK points when he's really not getting anything going as far as the shot is concerned, I expect that he'll have the opportunities to be able to do pretty well over here. So I do like him for the price tag here. Sticking in that same kind of mid-tier area over here, I do want to shout out Jalen Suggs over here at 5,300 as well. I would say he's a little bit more of a cash play rather than GPP, just because he is not necessarily the sexiest as far as upside is concerned, but he does consistently have the ability to get into the 30s and to the mid-30s as far as his game is concerned. And really, it's because he is able to just contribute in small ways across the stat line. His minutes are pretty well secure between 28 to 30 minutes on most cases, unless he's having a really bad night, which isn't very common because he has been one of the best defenders as far as Orlando is concerned as well. So definitely finds himself in playing more often than not. And over his last 3 games, he's had three out of 4 games with 31 DK points or more. The best thing is that his shot is starting to get back a little bit as well. He did have a bit of a slump kind of going into the start of February over there, where he had a bunch of games shooting about 30% from the field. But now he's hit 12 out of his last 17 shots in over two games, and including the 2 3-pointers a game in that time as well. So a lot to like as far as that's concerned, and the Brooklyn matchup should be one that he should enjoy, especially at home as well. So the opportunity for him to do that. I mentioned that Golden State and Washington game over there, and I mentioned that Washington has been playing well since Jordan Poole has moved himself to the bench, and it's kind of done some pretty decent wonders for him as far as kind of his capability to be against probably opponents that he can be a little bit better than. He definitely was struggling throughout the season as far as a starter is concerned, has clearly shown that he doesn't really have that consistency to be able to do well there. But as much as you want to believe in the revenge narrative, but more so than that, Jordan Poole, for a guy who's 5,800, is going to be in a position where in this game, he should find himself being able to put up anywhere between 18 to 20 shots against the second unit of the Golden State Warriors. And that's going to include Chris Paul making a return and a bunch of other guys that he should feel that he has the matchup advantage against. And if we know that Jordan Poole is able to get a couple of shots going early, that usually leads him to be able to have a pretty decent shooting night. So the hope is that he can kind of continue what he did against Cleveland a couple of nights ago, where he ended up 11 of 21 from the field, 48 DK points, but we'll have to wait and see what that means altogether. And then finally, this is going all the way into the 4,000 range for a guy who has been pretty decent since he's gotten moved over there. And that's Vasilij Micic, who's sitting in that kind of 24 to 25 minute range pretty consistently as far as Charlotte is concerned since he's made his move there. But coming off the bench, he's gotten a lot of opportunity to be that primary ball handler, has been racking up the dimes since he moved over there. So even if he's not necessarily putting up big points, he usually is able to find himself in that kind of 10 to 13 points range, with the upside to be able to get anywhere between 7 to 10 assists as well. So it obviously has a little bit of a boom or bust factor to it, given the fact that they're going up against Milwaukee, and maybe that game could get potentially out of hand and people could get moved around. But he should have an opportunity to play anywhere between 24 to 26 minutes and do a lot of what he has been doing for the last couple of weeks now.
Hey, you took my little fellow EuroLeague player. All right. Yeah, EuroLeague MVP Micic is a nice little solid pick, but I wasn't actually going to go that way on this slate. So I'm actually going to start from the bottom and actually go up. I was looking at this slate, and, you know, I looked at the Charlotte-Milwaukee matchup, and I'm like, you know, I want to take Micic. Kind of looked at man, because, you know, a lot of people was going to be off of man since, you know, kind of had a couple duds. But I'm actually going to go with the Cody Martin route. That's going to be kind of like my sneaky, cheap play at that position. Since even when Micic is on the floor, Martin's still able to run the show a little bit. Since Micic is able to play off ball pretty well, since he did a lot of that with Shane Larkin. So he's used to playing off the ball. So I know it's a little bit pricey for a low tier pick, but Cody Martin is going to be my little cheapy play. Now, going up a little bit to mid tier, you mentioned Trae Young will be out, possibly for the entire season. I know it said for about 4 weeks, but might be the entire season. And these shots need to go to somebody. A lot of people will be on Murray, but honestly, I have my eyes on Bogdanovich, man. I really do feel like at 6'3", he will have a good amount of ownership. But at the same time, since he's so scoring dependent, I do feel like a lot of players will be off him. So you won't get up more than 15 to 20% depending on your tournament. And if this game stay competitive and he stay on the floor, since ideally Atlanta is still battling to stay in that little 10th seed position for the play-in, he can possibly get you 30 actual points and possibly 5 assists, 5 rebounds. So For 6-3, you can't really do too bad with that. More of a cash game play, but I will play it in GPP. Now, for my spend up, it's not much of a spend up, but it's still a little bit above 7K. That's going to be Cody White in this Detroit-Chicago matchup. And I mentioned Dosunmu in the point guard position. But if you're trying to play GPPs, you need to get a little different. You need to get somebody with an upside of 50, 55 DraftKings points at a 7-4 spot. I really do feel like Coby White playing against the Pistons will be something that can actually happen in. White is scoring dependent, but if he's able to connect on 5 to 7 3-pointers, you should be looking at anywhere from 40 to 55 DraftKings points, depending on how many assists and rebounds he could rack up as well. Typically, his R plus A should be around 9.5, 10.5. So if he's able to get around that mark, you're looking at a nice night, especially in GPPs, with a spend up that can actually save you money for other positions on this slate.
Solid. No, I think that's a good way of going about it. And as you said, there's ways you're going to have to go out of the ordinary to try and take advantage of some of that low ownership, try to find that sneaky 6-7x play that could make all the difference in this. And that's exactly what I'm looking at over here as well on the small forward side, going from the bottom up. First of all, I'm starting with Simone Fontecchio for the Detroit Pistons, who, you know, to his credit, continues to be able to get those 30-plus minutes for a team that, again, continues to desperately need that outside shooting of his. And, you know, he's got a little bit of a kind of scoring-heavy profile at the moment, with him not getting nearly as many ball-handling opportunities now as he was when he was sitting with Utah. But to his continued consistency as far as shooting from outside is concerned, that gives him enough of that upside to be able to have kind of a 30-plus DK point night if he can get a shot going as he has over the last little bit. And I'm sure Detroit will be looking to put up a potential win over here, because they'll probably feel pretty hard done by in terms of what happened at the end of that New York game, which I don't know if you had a chance to watch, but just absolutely insane sequence of events that led to an and one for Josh Hart, but probably should have had a couple of foul calls prior to it, and sounds like the referees agreed. So yeah, Detroit's been playing some really good ball over the last couple of games, relatively speaking, for what we had been seeing. But both the Knicks and the Orlando game, they should have probably felt that they could win, and I felt Fontecchio continues to be a key piece for them, both on the ability to switch on a couple of guys defensively and that outside shooting ability. At the same time, going to that Golden State-Washington game again, if we're looking at someone who has really found himself a bit of a kind of turnaround on the season, given how terribly the start of the year went for him, causing him to lose a lot of his minutes, a lot of his positionality, and that's Andrew Wiggins, who's sitting at 5,400 at this point. Probably a little bit more of a cash play than a GPP, but he still does give you a little bit of upside as far as his ability to be able to rack up a couple of stats across the board. For him, he's been averaging about 30 DK points for the last 2 weeks at this point now, and been pretty consistent in that mark. Not too much to worry about as far as his floor is concerned. He's definitely finding himself getting back into a groove, both offensively and defensively for the Golden State Warriors, which they absolutely do need if they want to keep themselves in that mark around that kind of play-in tournament area, or maybe even slightly above that if the Warriors can catch some fire at the right time. But for him, he's got his rollback. He's playing anywhere between 28 to 31 minutes on a regular basis now, is getting those double-digit shot attempts, and has found himself starting to rack up a couple of those sneaky rebounds and assists to go with it, averaging about 4 on both of those stats over the last 2 weeks as well. So lots of like it in terms of having that capability to be able to get to that 6x while still giving you the safety of the floor that he does offer. And now going all the way up to the spend up, which is actually at 8,100 here for me. That's once again looking back at that Utah Atlanta game, which it just seems like there's just so much to like over here. And that's with Lauri Markkanen, for a guy who's at 8,100 over here, just continues to have just such massive upside as far as his entire stat line is concerned, given the fact that he's been upping his rebounding totals over the last couple of weeks as well. He's had a couple of double-doubles in that time, is getting more of that ball handling opportunity now too, with some of that backup that's kind of moved. They obviously lost Kelly Olynyk, who was doing a decent amount of that kind of second unit ball handling and also being that big that can have some of those dribble handoffs. Lauri Markkanen has gotten his usage percentage actually gone up a couple of points since that Fontecchio and Olynyk move for them. So really just helps for him to be sitting at that 8,100 price tag, where I think there's a lot of upside for him to have a 50-plus night yet again, even if he's not necessarily shooting the lights out, which, to his credit, over the last two games, he has found a little bit of his range back there. Far cry from the 6 of 23 that he put up against the Warriors, where even though he had that kind of a night, he still was able to put up 45 DK points. So just a lot to like with his profile. It's a great matchup, and he should have the size advantage with a lot of those offensive or a lot of those defensive assignments on the Atlanta Hawks, and hopefully can take advantage.
Nah, definitely a solid pick in Markkanen. I was thinking about going that route, but something else in that game brightened my eyes a little bit more than Markkanen. But nah, definitely a solid pick. I understand going that route for your spend up. For my small forward spend up, I'm going just a tad bit cheaper. Not too much cheaper, though. But that's Franz Wagner at 7-8 going up against Brooklyn, who are on a back-to-back. I know Wagner performance hasn't really been the most consistent. You really never know which of these Magic forwards are going to have the green light. Some nights you're going to get 11 shots out of Wagner, and other nights you're going to get 20 shots out of him. Going up against Brooklyn, I really do feel like this is going to be a 20-shot night out of Wagner. So depending on if they connect or not, you're looking at a potential floor of around 30 DK points to an upside of around 45, 50 DK points. This game should stay somewhat competitive, even though it's on a back-to-back, and Brooklyn is traveling to Orlando. So I might have another piece I'm interested in this game as well. Going a little bit cheaper. Like I said, I might have another piece I'm interested in this game as well. This is going to be on the Brooklyn side. That's going to be Mikal Bridges at 7-1. I really do feel like this will be a low ownership play. One, it's a back-to-back. Two, his performance hasn't really been Brooklyn Mikal Bridges since he came back in the month of January. But I really do feel like if an upside can happen, it should happen in this matchup, where he probably will be the best scoring option for the team. So you should be able to get about 20 field goal attempts out of him. Will he connect on those? I don't know. But I do feel like his floor should be pretty secure at around 28, 32 fantasy points. Upside is just like Wagner at 50. Now, going for my cheapy play, this is going to be GPP only. I should repeat this. This is going to be GPP only. This is starting to become a theme. I don't know what type of minutes this player is going to get. I don't know how many field goal attempts this player is going to get. But I do know he will get playing time, which is something I couldn't say about this player for the past 3 years, and that's Evan Fournier. Playing against Chicago, not the greatest matchup for him, but if he's able to stay on the floor for around 20, 25 minutes, he's able to get the green light on a couple of shots. Let's just say he gets you 8 to 12 field goal attempts. He has the potential to get you 20 actual points. Won't get you too many rebounds or assists, but should still be able to get you around 3 or 4 R plus A if you get those type of minutes. Might actually give you a couple steals. So if you're looking at spending 3-9 in a GPP and you're okay taking a risk on a shooter, Evan Fournier is somebody who can actually give you a sneaky 25, 30 points.
Interesting stuff there. I don't think I've heard Fournier be mentioned in one of these for, I said, probably a couple of years at this point. Definitely in a interesting spot as far as the Pistons are concerned. Again, obviously lacking shot making from the outside, but himself being a veteran on a rebuilding team, it's always a bit of a lottery in terms of what their night to night is looking like. So definitely more of a GPP play there, but I do like that. I like the Mikal Bridges one as well. I was looking at him for a good bit, but just decided that I might as well go a little bit further up to Markkanen and hope to secure a little bit more consistency in what we've been seeing as of late. Moving on to the power forwards side of things over here, and here was a bit interesting for me because the guys that I really liked over here were all kind of in that same kind of high 6,000s to low 8,000 range over there. Not really anyone that was jumping out to me that I particularly liked as far as either a spend up or a cheapie is concerned. So I'm going to give a couple of mid-tier picks that I find myself fitting in as far as lineups are concerned. And first of all, it's going to be back once again to the New York Knicks side of things with Josh Hart over here. Look, we continue to see what his upside is whenever he's getting not only the amount of minutes that he is, regardless of whether it's a back-to-back as it will be for the New York Knicks, but it's clear that until OG and is absolutely ready to return over here, it's going to be just the Josh Hart show as far as everything on offense and defense is concerned for all the switchability and the versatility that he has. So the fact that he got 17 shots in that last Pistons game is not necessarily the trend that you see continuing, but he is getting double-digit shots on a regular buffet now and is getting anywhere between 4 to 5 shots from the outside on a regular basis as well. So it's really given him a lot of upside. And for a guy who's still sitting in that 6,000 mark, for him to have had 40-plus fantasy points in 3 of his last 5 games, 4 of his last 6 games, it's just a lot to like in terms of what he has as far as upside is concerned. And he just gives you so much for a potential price tag that is probably a bit too cheap for his current role and is likely going to keep getting adjusted. So definitely one of my favorite picks. And of course, the Pelicans is also a bit of a revenge matchup for him there as well. Had spent a bit of time on that side over there. Probably was the first team that really gave him the opportunity to be able to start on a consistent basis. And now with the Knicks, he's definitely thriving there. So let's see what he can do against this old franchise there. With the same power forwards, specifically only, him not having dual eligibility probably makes it a potential decision for you to be able to fit in. But Jalen Johnson for the Atlanta Hawks, again, going back to that Utah-Atlanta game, 7,900 is just such an excellent price tag for a guy who, similar to Josh Hart in a way, but with a little bit more kind of offensive upside and also just the talent really in that sense, has been one of them. I'm going to say he's going to be the best player as far as Atlanta is concerned, just for how much he's able to do on both sides of the floor. Just continues to be an absolute force on the defensive stats and just continues to find a way to be in that kind of 9 to 10 rebound range, despite being slightly undersized for his role over there. But it's clear that Jalen Johnson is one for the future as far as the Hawks are concerned, and his price tag has consistently risen throughout the season for good reason for how well he has been playing. But at this point, he is just absolutely one of the more rock solid plays that you can have in a matchup here that he should get that same amount of shot attempts that he got against Orlando, 19 field goal attempts. So that one almost was on a triple double march. And now we'll have to obviously see him get to handle the ball that little bit more with Trae Young out. He was able to get 7 assists in that last Orlando game. I expect that with how much the Hawks absolutely believe in him as their future, he should be getting that opportunity there as well. So this could be very much an opportunity for him to repeat what he did against the Orlando Magic and have another 50-plus DK point night over here. And then finally, I feel like every time I get to see him on the slate, I can always just recommend him because his price tag to me just continues to be one where until he gets to, in my mind, around 9,000, I think Karl-Anthony Towns is just continuously going to be a guy that is always going to have that upside, similar to Markkanen in the sense of being that guy who's sitting at around that low 8,000s mark, but absolutely has the capability to be able to put up 50 fantasy points on a night-in, night-out basis. It really just depends on what his usage is looking like on any given night. And now, given that he is going up against the Spurs, where, to be honest, he's not necessarily done badly as far as efficiency is concerned, but he just hasn't been all that aggressive. And given that the Timberwolves are obviously looking to consolidate themselves as the top teams in the West over there, I expect that Cat is going to be looking to make a little bit more of a mark against Wemby, given Wemby's hot streak as of late. And for him to get to that same kind of 33, 34-minute mark, what we're expecting, but hopefully be shooting closer to some of those you know 20 shot a game 20 shot attempts a game scenarios rather than the ones where he ends up in the low teens and looks a little bit more passive. So just expecting him to be a little bit more aggressive at home against the against someone who's obviously just made all the headlines for all the 5x5s and everything else he's been doing as of late. So don't let Cat be countered out there, and I expect for 8,200 he's got that upside to do a 50 plus night here and get himself back on track against the Spurs.
Oh man, I don't know, man. I feel kind of bad that you know said someone's gonna outperform the new face of the league. Man, I don't know how to feel about that. I like the pick, but man, I don't know if you can outside Wimby right now, man. I'm actually gonna stay away from the game right now. For my spend up, I wasn't even aware this player had power forward eligibility until 2 hours ago. And that's Vucevic. I really do like the spot for a couple of bull players in this game. But at 7-8, going up against the Detroit team where he had recent success against this year and last year, I really do feel like this will be a double-double spot. Could give him a couple steals, a couple blocks. But if he's able to get you 30 minutes, he should be around 42 to 50 DraftKings points at the end of the night if the spread stay pretty close. Going a little bit cheaper, I know you mentioned Markkanen at the small forward position, but I always love revenge narratives. And man, John Collins, this dude been on the trade block for 3 years when he was in Atlanta, and he's going back home to Atlanta. And man, I forgot what it was, but didn't he have almost 20 rebound game couple games back?
Yeah,
I think it was against Golden State. Could be wrong. But yeah, he's actually been playing up to his potential lately. Do I see him getting a double double this matchup? No, I don't see that happening. Do I see him getting a 5x5? Don't see that happening. But I do realistically see him getting anywhere from 40 to 50 DraftKings points if he stays out of foul trouble in this spot. And at 6'3", and somebody who should be at pretty low ownership, I don't really see him exceeding anything other than like 8% ownership on GPPs or cash. That's somebody I would run. Now for my real GPP play. Ah, man, this player had to sit out a game on Sunday. So, you know, he's rested up. He's well rested. He's going to New York, and that's going to be Najee Marshall, especially if Zion or Ingram sits this game out. He's somebody who will get you around 15, 20 minutes if one of those players are out. Don't really do too much on the floor, but he does enough to actually have a usage rate higher than 12%. If he's able to give you 20 minutes and if one of those players are out, you're looking at somebody who's 3-5 that you can play in both cash and GPP, who should have a floor of around 10, 13 DraftKings points, but an upside around 25 to 30 DraftKings points. And that's how I'm looking at this power forward position tomorrow right now.
Well, fair enough. I love the John Collins pick, first of all, because he was definitely in my list as far as centers were concerned, just because taking a look at some of these other centers lists, it wasn't as appealing to me, but I'll go ahead and give you that. I do think he's going to have a great night given what you're talking about over here. So let's see what ends up happening there. As far as the rest of these centers are looking over here, I'm going to start at kind of the low end of the mid-tier side of things, which is at 5,300. And that's Wendell Carter Jr. You know, he continues to be a guy that's got, not only he obviously had a little bit of a about a week off with the injury that he had, but as soon as he's gotten back, his minutes total has been rising. And against that Atlanta matchup in a couple of days ago, that went all the way up to 34 minutes over there. And really, what is always going to be good with him is that he has that upside to be able to get a somewhere around a 15 and 10 as far as his stat line is concerned, and then, you know, he'll just sneak in with a couple of little blocks and steals to be able to go ahead and round out the stat line. And really what it means is that something in the mid-30s is pretty attainable on a regular basis for him in a matchup where Orlando will likely be throwing out a little bit more size. You got Claxton on the other end, and you know, just altogether a little bit more on the inside as far as Brooklyn's concerned, to have Wendell Carter get, you know, a matchup and a defensive matchup as well, where likely will be required to be a little bit more involved as far as the offense is concerned. So not necessarily, as I said, the sexiest pick out there, similar to kind of my my Jalen Suggs one earlier. I just think Orlando has a lot of these solid players, and as you said, they are in many ways attacking by committee, which is why I kind of end up staying away from like the top end of them in either Franz Wagner or Paolo Banchero. But I do find myself getting a good bit of their exposure as far as these low mid-tier guys are concerned, because really they're doing much of the same thing, but just not giving you as much risk as far as their price tags are concerned. So that's kind of where I am with Wendell on this. Going back into the little bit higher of the mid-tier area, you already mentioned John Collins, so I'll skip past him, but I do expect that Jalen Duren is going to be set for yet another big game against the Chicago Bulls. And we already saw what he did earlier in the season against them in 33 minutes, where he ended up on a 23-15 night on route to a 56 DK point matchup against the Chicago Bulls earlier. And really, it's going to be him against Vucevic. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to go at each other. Neither team is very offensively talented as far as pure shot making is concerned. So I expect this to be a pretty high board game for Jalen Duren over here, who really doesn't necessarily need a lot from his pure offensive capabilities, but he has the ability to be able to rack up a big rebounding game. I'm talking like 15 plus over here, similar to what he just had against the New York Knicks as well, despite only shooting four of 11. Still ended up with 42 DK points on there. And that's following up a Orlando matchup where he had 45 DK points there as well. So continues to be one of the more consistent bigs in the entire kind of fantasy sphere at the moment, with the upside of having a real monster game if he can get a little bit more from his offense, and if he can get himself to the free throw line a little bit more aggressively as well, where, you know, we've seen when he can get into the high single digits as far as free throw attempts are concerned, that's when the upside really opens itself into that kind of 50 territory. And for someone that with 6,900 as their price tag, I always like that option over there. And then finally, again, it's not a full-on spend up over here, but Jared Allen coming into this Dallas and Cleveland matchup over here, where he already had one dominant performance against them for a Dallas team that continues to struggle with size on the inside. But the biggest thing that we're seeing is that Jared Allen is becoming a lot more involved as far as his pure offensive output is concerned. His field goal attempts have continued to go up throughout the month of February, and he's now at a point where he's pretty consistently expected to be able to shoot anywhere between 14 to 18 times a game, which is really what you want from a guy who always has the capability to be able to rack up 10 to 15 boards on a pretty regular basis. It's just going to come down whether he can also put up those 20 points as he has been over the last little bit, and pretty much for a good part of the month of February. So if he can continue that in a matchup where I expect that Dallas is absolutely going to be looking to keep it close. Obviously, Luka Doncic has been on a tear, and he is probable to be able to play this game. I don't expect that his nose injury is going to keep him out there. So I expect that this game goes close. The spread that I was looking at has a Cleveland favorite to win by 4. The total of the game sitting at 233. So a lot to like as far as Jaren Allen's upside is concerned. I think he could be one of the higher scoring centers on the slate over here.
Yeah, man. Really do like that Allen pick. And I was going to go with that as my spend up, but I switch it up. I have somebody else I could pivot to, but definitely in a solid matchup. And should probably have around a 15% ownership on the slate. Definitely could use in cash or GPP. But to switch it up, I'm going to go with somebody who won't really have the ownership. Got a questionable tag right now, but I really do feel like he will play against his fellow Frenchman. And that's going to be Rudy Gobert. Priced at 7-6. I really don't think too many people will be on him in this matchup. Should be able to get you around 32 to 36 minutes, depending on if they run away with the game or not. But he's been giving you a consistent 35, 40 DraftKings points at that price tag pretty much for the whole year. And in this game, you know, he might want to block a few more shots than usual. I don't know. I don't think he got any personal vendettas against Wemby, but last time he played against San Antonio, he had a decent little game as well. So if you're looking for a sneaky 50 DraftKings points that a lot of people won't have in terms of ownership, Gobert will be the one route to go. In this mid-tier play, not too much of a spin down than Gobert, but at 6'3", especially if even if Zion plays, Valanciunas in New York at 6'3" is something I might have my eyes on in GPP. Probably would stay away from that in cash, but honestly, New York's on a back-to-back, pretty close game. I know they're still at home, but I really don't like the heart of the team, especially if your bigs are Hartenstein and Achiuwa in terms of rebounding. So I do feel like having somebody like Valanciunas out there should be able to get him to hit his little prop of like 12.5 rebounds in the matchup if you give him 30 minutes, take him out of foul trouble. And if they actually do this whole point Zion and they have that running, he should be able to get some easy buckets. It's odd. If Zion is in, I feel like a lot of people will be off him. But at the same time, I do feel like when they do the point Zion, Valanciunas benefits from that more than Zion being out. For my cheapy play, I'm actually going to go... I don't even know if I call it a cheapy play. 5'2", close enough to be a cheapy play? I don't know. Maybe you could call it a cheap mid tier. if I don't play Vucevic, I'm actually going to go with Drummond in this spot at 5'2". Again, his minutes is not really there, but he basically give you 1.5 points per minute when he's on the floor. And in the matchup against Detroit, I really do feel like, you know, he kind of got the start there. You get the little revenge narrative. Maybe you want to get a few more blocks. Maybe you want to get a quick double-double. He's capable of doing it in a 16-18 minute spot, but at the same time, he's somebody who could just fizzle out, not get you too many minutes, and actually fell out pretty early. So this is more of a GPP play, and again, you won't get too much ownership on him. Probably going to be 4% or less.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think someone sitting in that 5,000 range is always a little bit of a gamble when you know the minutes aren't secure. But as you said, he's a permanent monster. And if he can find himself anywhere close to 18 to 20 minutes, you're likely to have a good time as far as his actual points performance is concerned. But that does bring us to the end of, I said, a pretty packed 9-game slate over there. Obviously, a lot of potential ways to be able to go up. But I think something you saw as a trend kind of throughout is, you know, we really didn't need to talk too much about the Wembys, the Antetokounmpos, the Luka Doncic's of the world, because there's just so much value to potentially be found at that kind of mid-tier, high mid-tier area. So, now as always, reach out to us on Instagram, on Twitter, catch me at HAK_Devil. Talk to me about your approach in these kind of slates, kind of where your upside is looking, who are your pillar plays, and really the best way that you find yourself getting some success when approaching some of these larger slates when there's a lot of options available. Kenny, I know you're following all kinds of basketball. Where can people find you to get the best takes for all that?
Yeah, man. People can find me on Twitter, Etz, whatever you want to call it nowadays, at OrangeDFS. And I'm more than willing to talk about this NBA slate, but we got the NBL play-in games tomorrow. We got this Melbourne versus Illawarra. That should be a nice little game. I think we got a couple nice games tomorrow in women's college basketball. And who's playing? Man, can't think of who's playing, but I think there was one nice game on the schedule tomorrow. But as always, man, if you want to talk about any basketball, just hit me up.
Love it. As always, get yourself subscribed to that DFS Pass. Keep your eye on the injury report so you can always keep yourself up to date with everything that changes on a permanent basis. And as always, get us on Discord to ask the pros all the way up until lineup lock. But until then, we'll be catching you on the next one. It's going to be Ramiz and I tomorrow to be able to take on the Wednesday slate over there. But until then, let's take down some of these GPPs.